This is Alive with Joseph.
Give the Lord your praise if you believe that this morning. Hallelujah. Welcome to church, everybody. Let's read God's word standing, as it is our tradition to honor the Lord by reading his word standing. Let's look at Mark chapter 4, verse 19, which will form the foundation for our discussion this morning. Mark 4, 19 says, "And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in choke the word and it becomes unfruitful." I want you to walk up to three people on my behalf, look straight into their eyes with every sense of responsibility and boldness. Ask them, have you overcome greed? Have you overcome greed? Glory to God. Now you go ahead and give Jesus praise. Amen. We're still on our series. Please, you may be seated. Welcome to church. Good morning. Amen. We're still on our series on generosity. And we've been looking at money on a mission. Or I am on a mission. So this morning we look at another topic, another series, how to overcome greed. How to overcome greed. So open up your heart this morning to the word that you are about to receive. Now understand, friends, that success is not defined by what we have. Jesus even told us that. Because one's life does not consist of the abundance of what they possess. There are some people who feel like money makes them invincible. That is to say, because they have plenty money, they feel that they can handle every issues of life. But one thing I've come to understand is, money doesn't really make us invincible. Money can solve some problems, but money cannot solve all problems. Money can solve some problems, but it cannot solve all problems. So today, I want us to look at how money wants to replace God in our lives. We live in a time where money wants to take the place of God in our lives. So let's look at all of that this morning. And our text in that parable that Jesus gave in the book of Mark, you know, shows us, you know, some of the things that the Bible tells us that wants to stop the word of God from bearing fruit in our lives as believers. And number one thing that was mentioned in that parable that Jesus gave was the deceitfulness of riches. Number one thing that wants to stop the word of God from bearing fruit in our lives is the deceitfulness of riches. Number two is the cares of this world. That is, excessive care about issues of life and the deceitfulness of riches can stop the word of God from producing power in our lives. And the Bible tells us that excessive worry about the cares of life can choke out the word of God in our life. It can choke out the word of God in our hearts, in our families, in our households, and in our destiny. And the Amplified Version, AMP translation, puts it this way: "But the worries and the cares of the world, the distraction of this age, which is worldly pleasures, and the deceitfulness and the false security of or glamour of wealth or fame and the passionate desires for all the other things creep in and choke at the word and it becomes unfruitful." So it is possible for the word of God not to bear fruit in our lives if we allow the false, you know, if we allow false security of wealth and fame. When you allow false security of wealth and fame, it can choke out the word of God in your life. That is to say, it is possible for the word of God not to bear fruit in our lives, in our families, in our households, in our destinies, simply because of the cares of this world, simply because of the worries of this world, simply because of the distraction of this age with worldly pleasures. The Amplified Version called it that. It says, "Distraction of this age with its worldly pleasure." Worldly pleasure can destroy a home. Worldly pleasure can destroy a family. Worldly pleasure can destroy an individual. Worldly pleasure can destroy a good enterprise. Worldly pleasure can destroy a great life that is on its way to, you know, achieving divine assignment. Worldly pleasure can creep in and destroy such a life. So the Bible warns us, Jesus speaking says, we must be careful because it has the power to choke out the word of God that we have received. I pray for you. Nothing will choke out the word of God in your life in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear your amen. I pray for you. The word of God you are receiving will bear fruit in your life in the name of Jesus. Because the mission of God's word is to bear fruit in our lives. The mission of God's word, the assignment of God's word is to bear fruit in our lives. And the enemy works night and day, works round the clock to make sure that the word of God does not bear fruit. And how does he do that? Through worldly pleasures. Through worldly pleasures. So we are looking at the deceitfulness of riches, worries, and the cares of this world. It lures people into greed. These are the things that lures people into greed. Greed says, get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. But God says, freely you have received, freely you give. Be generous to the kingdom of God. Be kind to people around you, to your neighbors. Play your part in God's agenda with your wealth. Play your part in God's agenda with the wealth he has put in your hands, with the riches he has put in your hands. Put your money on a mission for God. Put your money on a mission for the benefit of humanity. Let your money be a blessing. Let your money be a blessing. And I pray for you, the wealth God gives to you, it will be a blessing in the name of Jesus. Now, that is the mindset I want us to build as a life church. That is, we are a generous people. We want to be able to honor God with his blessings on our lives. That is, when God blesses you, your family should be able to feel the impact of the blessing of God on your life. You cannot preach the gospel to your non-believing family members if you are stingy towards them. Hear me, if you are stingy towards them, you cannot preach the gospel to them. And God wants the people around us to feel the impact of his blessing on our lives. People around us should be able to feel the impact of the wealth that God puts in our lives. And one of the good examples in the Bible about someone who mismanaged money, one of the good examples of someone who mismanaged money in scriptures is the prodigal son. In the book of Luke chapter 15, the young man asks from his father the portion of his inheritance, and his father gave it to him. Let's pick up the conversation from verse 13 to 14, New Living Translation. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. King James would say a far country. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He wasted his money. The Bible calls it riotous living. KJV says riotous living. New Living Translation says wild living. The guy lived wildly with what was given to him. He was using the proceeds of grace to manage this grace. He was using the proceeds of grace to live in an environment of disgrace. He was using what the Father gave him to live wildly. And there are people like that who come to the house of God. After a while, God gives them a very big breakthrough. Then they take the money God has blessed them with to go celebrate their victory in the club. They take the money God has blessed them with. They go celebrate their victory. God blessed them in the church. They go do Thanksgiving in the nightclub. God bless them in the church. They go do Thanksgiving in the club. Don't you see that often, that God blesses people in his house? When it is time to give God thanks, they go to the club to go do Thanksgiving. You started in the spirit, you're ending in the flesh. You see, someone will say, God has added another year to my life. They are not in the house of God. They say God, they put G-O-D, has added another year to my life. Guess what they are doing? They are in one club celebrating with all kinds of alcohol. For the year God added, champagne didn't add the year to your life. You ought to be celebrating that year God added in his house, in his presence, celebrating, rejoicing. I came from an environment where when it is your birthday, you come and give thanksgiving in the church. But we are now exposed to a generation, when it is birthday, they go do thanksgiving in the club. Hey, may God help. God has added another year with all kinds of whiskeys in your hands, with all kinds of champagnes in your hands. And you're saying God has added another. No. Remove the G-O-D. Just put the name of the champagne. Whatever champagne it is, put the name as a champagne has added another year. Because that's what you're celebrating with. You ought to be in the house of God for thanksgiving so you can see the proceeds of grace, which is the year God has added to you. You're using it to fund disgrace. Hallelujah. Say, ouch. Okay. In the spirit. So that's what is happening. The prodigal son requested his father to give him the portion of his inheritance. And the father gave him, and he took everything to Las Vegas. Pastor, there's Las Vegas in the Bible, there is. He took everything to Las Vegas. I don't, we concluded in the first service that the Las Vegas of South Africa is Cape Town. He took everything to Las Vegas. And I don't know where the Las Vegas of Polokwane is, but some of you know. He took everything to Las Vegas, wasted it in Las Vegas. As they say, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. So he wasted everything there. But famine came. Famine came. Famine never warns you. When famine will arrive, it never gives a notice. Famine came, and the Bible said he was now broke. He lacked everything. He was now starving. I pray for you in the name of our Lord Jesus. You will not live widely with the blessing of God in the name of Jesus. I declare you will not live widely with the blessing of God in the name of Jesus. So it's only the truth from God's word that will deliver you and I from the love of money. The truth from God's word delivers us from wild living. Understand that lies about money fuels greed. When you believe a lie about money, it will fuel greed in you. It will distract you from God's agenda on the earth. It will distract you from God's agenda on the earth. The Babylonian system that runs the world system has created a system that has put people on a pedestal when it comes to money. People are on a rat race when it comes to money. People are on a rat race when it comes to money. Everybody is chasing after it. Everybody is doing one thing or another. People are cutting corners. People are killing. People are doing all kinds of things because that is the Babylonian system. The spirit of Babylon has made sure that everyone, humans, are on a pedestal when it comes to money. The world around us has created systems to rate people, to rate success. So many believers have also come strongly under this influence. There are many people who, you know, they have allowed the world system to bring them under the influence of the rating of the world when it comes to success. And you and I must understand that success has nothing to do with the amount of possessions you have. Even Jesus, some people, Jesus encountered certain people in his days. They were successful and rich by the standards of Jesus' time. And Jesus looked straight into these people's eyes and said to them that you are poor and wretched. Why? Because in heaven's agenda, they were irrelevant. They were irrelevant. There are many people in our time, many believers in heaven's agenda, they are irrelevant. They are irrelevant. Why? Because they think that earthly success, you know, is what matters the most. But they forget there is an agenda God has. God has an agenda. I pray for you. May you be relevant in heaven's agenda in the name of Jesus. Can I hear your loudest amen? So there's a reason why God created you. What is the purpose of the wealth and money in your hands? When you don't know the purpose of the wealth and money in your hands, you will mismanage it. You will mismanage it. You will use it to fund wickedness. When you don't know the purpose of wealth and money in your hands, you will use it to sponsor wickedness. You will use it to sponsor iniquity. When you don't know the purpose of wealth in your life, you will misuse it. Friends, lies about money fuels greed and it creates distraction for believers. The believers who run after money, they are distracted from God's agenda on the earth. And you and I need to be very careful. You need to be very careful because we live in a time where that is what our world is after. Constantly ask yourself, are you a seeking first believer? Are you a seeking first his kingdom believer? Or are you a seek ye money first believer? Some people will rather lose their position in heaven just to retain their wealth on the earth. They will rather lose their position in heaven just to retain their wealth on the earth. Are you the type of person that your hunger for wealth on earth has so much engulfed you? You don't, you know, if you don't get earthly success and wealth, you don't see your, you see yourself as a failure. When you don't get earthly wealth, earthly success, you see yourself as a failure. You are so much soaked into it that you don't see anything else. And if you're that kind of a person, please free yourself. Deliver yourself from that desire, from that insatiable desire for wealth, for money. Deliver yourself from it. People do all kinds of things because of insatiable desire for money. If you're that kind of a person, free yourself. Live and obey the word of God. Make up your mind that you're going to be a blessing. Make up your mind you're going to be a follower of Jesus, not a follower of money. Make up your mind. Jesus speaking in Luke chapter 12 verse 15, he says, then he said, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. Life is not measured by how much you own. Stop comparing yourself with another. Stop comparing yourself with anyone. Life is not measured by how much you own. Listen, friends, the very moment you allow inordinate affection, insatiable desire for money, an ugly sense of competition setting, you are inviting the spirit of mammon into your life. You are inviting greed into your heart. And listen to this. Mammon is a spirit that seeks to replace trust in God with trust in money. Mammon is a spirit that is seeking to replace trust in God with trust in money. That is what mammon is seeking to do. To replace trust, your trust in God, with trust in money. And Jesus warned us against mammon when he was on the earth in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, I read. He said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and mammon. The New Living Translation, put it on the screen. Let's read together. Everyone, let's read the New Living Translation. One, two, three, let's go. No one can serve two masters. That's it. Hey, cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Did you see? He used the word devoted, devotion. There are many who are devoted to money. There are many who are devoted to mammon. There are many who all their devotion is towards material wealth and earthly possession. And here, Jesus warned us about it. Mammon is that spirit. Mammon is that understanding that comes with the mission to replace trust in God with trust in money. Mammon is a counterfeit God that pushes you to find your identity, security, and hope in your bank balance. Mammon is a spirit that pushes a person to find their identity, their security, their hope in their bank balance or their wealth portfolios or material possession, rather than finding their security, hope, and identity in God and his promises. Many only see their identity in money. We are aware of what is happening. You know, the news last week of these two gentlemen, you know, I can't even condemn gentlemen, these two men. Gentlemen don't behave like that. Yeah, let's not use words anyhow. They are not gentlemen. There's the way gentlemen behave. To these two men, these two guys, who were in a BMW, and because they were in a BMW, disrespecting the car, the security guard. How many of you, is out there on social media, is everywhere, is even on the news. Go look for it. And disrespecting the guy, dishonoring the guy, you know, doing all kinds. Why? Because for them, their identity is in the BMW they drive. Can you imagine that? Finding your identity in ordinary BMW. What a wasted life. What a useless destiny. Then if you own a private jet, what will happen? Eh? If you own private jet, what will happen? That means nobody will hear word again. Ordinary BM. Ordinary. We're not even saying Rolls Royce. Ordinary BM. That's where they found their identity. And they were disrespecting the security man. Telling him, do you know how much you must be earning a salary to be able to buy this kind of a car? That's the world we live in. That's the world we live in. That's where we are right now, where people's identity is in what they own. People's identity is in what they drive, is in their bank balance. And yet, God is saying to you and I, those things, they will fade away. They will fade away. They will fade away. Those things, just one accident, and that thing is gone. One accident, that thing is folded like a piece of cake. And yet God is saying, our identity should be in Him. Our security should be in God. Your security should not be in your bank balance. No matter how heavy it is, your security should be in God. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Your security should not be in your wealth portfolio. Let it be in God. There's a level of spiritual growth you will get to whereby your behavior and emotion will not change. Whether your bank balance is full or empty. If you are here, listen friends, hear me, hear my heart on this. If you are here, when you don't have money, you don't have peace. It shows to me that you have not grown spiritually. If money still runs your emotions, you have strayed into the hands of mammon. You just don't know it. When money is running a person's emotion, when their financial tank is low, they tend to misbehave. When their financial tank is low, they tend to misbehave. There are also people that when money is running their life, you see that when their financial tank is heavy, they are misbehaving. We've seen men misbehave the very moment he begins to make money. The very moment he begins to make money, he starts misbehaving. Start doing all kinds of funny things. These were things he couldn't do when he was broke. Amen. That's not going to. We've seen that with women as well. So if money still runs your emotions, you have strayed into the hands of mammon. If money runs your emotions, there are some people, they are the happiest when they are financially loaded. You see them singing church song because their pocket is full. Even when they come to church, their dancing is different. Observe them. I won't show you who they are, or just observe them. When they are loaded, oh my God. You are very fat. They greet you. Hey, hello, Pastor Joseph. How are you? Because the tank is loaded. So such believers, their joy is dependent on money, not on the Holy Spirit. And yet the Bible tells you and I, according to Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, there will be the last part of it. He said, the joy of the Lord should be our strength. The joy of the Lord should be our strength. Our strength, our joy should not be from our bank balance. Our joy should be, you know, the joy of the Lord should be our strength. Hallelujah. Listen, friends, your trust should not be in money. Money should not be your God. Declare with power, money is not my God. Say, money is not my God. When you have money in abundance, don't let it change you. Let it not change who you are. When you have money in abundance, don't let it change you. When you don't have it, it shouldn't also change who you are. It shouldn't change who you are. You know, there is this notion online, you know, you see even Christians participate in it, you know, that the notion that the reason why Africans pray or Africans are religious is because, you know, Africans are broke. That's not true. That when you go to Europe, they are not as religious as we are because things are working. Who told you things are working? Broke. Thank God that their government have set up systems where they have free health care, free this, free that. Some of you right now, if we take your house and move it to Europe, you are a rich man. You see your mansion. Go see some houses in London. How you have to, you know. It's a cubicle. Go see some apartments in New York. The other time I watched a lot of apartments in New York. They are selling some one useless apartment that it doesn't even look like, you know, 2x2. They say it's $10,000 a month. And some of you, you're living in mansion, 3-bedroom, only you. 3-bedroom, 3-bathroom, you, only you. I'm telling you, because you never value all these things. Only you, 3-bedroom, 3-bathroom, only you. So the notion that, you know, the reason why Africans are religious is because things are, no. There are many of you, if not all of you, seated here today, you're more enlightened, more educated, well-to-do than most Europeans out there. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise.
We're seeking God not because the things are bad. No. We're seeking God because we put the Lord first. Seek ye the Lord first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Listen, friends, someone not seeking God has nothing to do with things working well or not working well. Hallelujah. So don't follow that trail online. Don't follow that rubbish talk. The reason Africans are praying like this is because nothing is working. Who told you nothing is working? Seated here are some millionaires in this nation. Seated here. How many of you knew that you were sitting next to an ambassador, a South African high commissioner to Kenya? How many of you knew he was sitting with you in the service? Who told you that we pray because nothing is working? We actually pray because we're excited because things are working. Give the Lord your praise this morning. So don't fall for those lies online by people who are jobless, who have managed to get free data. They're using it to disturb us. Hallelujah. We are seeking God because he is God. And because we have put our trust absolutely in him. God is God, and he must have his rightful place in our hearts, with or without wealth. Hallelujah. And what is happening now? We are sending missionaries to Europe. What is that? We are now having reverse missionaries. Africans are shipping missionaries to Europe because as it is right now, Europe is gradually becoming the dark continent. Hallelujah. Never forget, there is only one giver of life. He is the Almighty God who owns you and everything you have. If you neglect him when everything is okay, then it simply means your heart was never right towards him in the first place. So you and I must make up our mind. We are God seekers. We are not material wealth seekers. So once in a while, you need to ask yourself, what is the greatest pursuit of my life? Is there an agenda I have exalted above God in my life? Is there an agenda I have exalted above God? Because the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things shall be added unto you. Luke, Matthew 6, verse 33. So if you have an agenda that is highly rated than pleasing God with your life, that agenda will make you do what is dishonoring towards God. Greed is not just a habit, friends. Greed is not just a disposition. Greed is not an outlook. Greed is a spiritual stronghold encapsulated in the grandfather of devils called Mammon. When a person wants to get things by all means, that is the spirit of greed at work. When you must get it at all means, you tell yourself, I must get it at all. Have you heard that phrase, get rich or die trying? I don't even know who made that statement. One of these rappers. Get rich or die trying. Can you imagine such statements? That's the spirit of Mammon at work. Come to the place as a child of God where you say to yourself, whatever God cannot give me, I don't want it. Whether it is a position or possession, whatever God cannot give me, I do not want it. Hear this, friends. If you are not trusting God to get what you want to get, it then means you are trusting the devil to get it. And how do I know you're trusting the devil to get it? If you are willing, this is how you gauge if you're trusting the devil to get what you want or not. If you are willing to do it the ungodly way, it tells me you're trusting the devil to get it. If you are part of this church, called Alive Church, and you are operating like this, that is to say, you can do any ungodly thing to get wealth. You can lie, you can defraud, you can cause people harm, you can even to get to the point of, taking another person's life. It simply means you're not serving this Jesus with us. You are serving Mammon. You're serving Mammon. Never, hear me, you are in business. You are in an office. Never be part of destroying anyone's labor just because you want your own to prosper. Never get involved in it. Never. Hear me, friends. Never. In business, you are in office, in anything, you're even in politics. Never be involved in destroying anyone's labor so that your own can prosper. Let it be that if your competitors fail, let it not be traceable to you. Let it not be that you were a major factor causing their downfall. Let it never such thing be traceable to you. Let's quickly look at a few pointers to greed. Quickly, number one, when your number one pointer to greed, number one, when your fist is tightened around money and material possession, it is an indication of greed. When your fist is tightened. Number two pointer, if every work you do is evaluated based solely on personal gain, if you are not going to gain anything out of it, you check out, is a pointer to greed. If everything you do, you ask, what is in it for me? Hey, something has gone wrong. That's a pointer to greed. Number three, when you secretly measure your worth by what others own, you're just focused on competition all the time. All this shows to me that greed is at work in your life. These are things that God wants you and I to be delivered from. God wants us to be delivered from all of these things. So conquering these things is what shows you that you are growing as a believer. Understand that the blessing of God cannot be measured in money only. The blessing of God is measured with peace, with the peace of God, is measured with right standing with God, and your life bearing good fruits. That is how the blessing of God is measured. And at our Life Church, we believe in prosperity. I believe that the believer must prosper. The believer should prosper as they do their work, serve humanity with their gifts, skills, talents, and calling. You should prosper. But I do not believe in prosperity gospel. What is prosperity gospel? It says that all your dealings with God must be transactional. It is treating God like an ATM. That if we, but Lord, when you tithe, your tithe is because you are expecting something in return. Listen, friends, hear me and hear me well. Your tithe is kingdom responsibility. That needs to settle in your heart. Kingdom responsibility. The same way your tax is national responsibility to the nation you belong to, so that things can be properly run by the government. That is how your tithe is. That is why your tithe is not negotiable. Quote me anywhere, put me on social media, it's fine. It's not negotiable. We believe in tithing at a Life Church because it's our kingdom responsibility. The chair you're sitting on was bought with rands. The microphone in my hands was bought with money. The screen you're gazing at was bought with money. You that is online, the equipment using to broadcast what you are enjoying in the comfort of your home is money. And money don't grow on trees. Money come from people's pockets. Give Jesus praise. So is your kingdom responsibility. It's not a transaction. God, I carry it. As I'm bringing my tithe this month, God, hey, you must return it to 1,000 times, 1,000,000 fold. What? Stop that. Prosperity gospel is transactional, void of responsibility. You and I are responsible. We are responsible kingdom citizens. We love the Lord with all our hearts, with our possession. And we will honor God and serve him with what he has given to us. Give the Lord your praise. Hallelujah. We are way makers. We are way makers. We know that someone made the way for the gospel to get to us. The same way we make ways for others for the gospel to be able to get to them as well. Hallelujah. So if everything you do for God is transactional, then something is not right. God is not an ATM. Our honor to God, giving to God, is not a transactional business. We give to God because he is God. How do you deal with greed? And I'm done. Let me give you three ways on how to deal with greed. Number one way to deal with greed is worship God daily and actively. In the temptation of Jesus, let's see something there. In the temptation of Jesus, Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 to 10.
Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Amen. So this is how Satan operates. He makes people worship money, which unintentionally they are worshiping Satan. In our time today, Satan, in our generation, Satan no longer comes direct to ask for worship from man. So instead, he exalts material things and asks man to worship those things. Satan seduces people to rate material things higher than their relationship with God. He seduces people to put material things above everything else. Listen, don't let money be the most important thing in your life. The minds of our generation is being programmed to worship money and material possession. So my question to you this morning, which you're not going to answer me, but I want you to be sincere with yourself. My question to you this morning is there a price at which your worship of God can be bought? Is there a price at which your worship of God can be switched? Is there a price? We live in a time where people believe that everything is transactional. Give them contracts, they think it's transactional. Give them things to do, they think it's transactional. So we live in a time where, you know, everything anyone is doing, they have their own hidden agenda. Haven't you heard? They say everybody has a price. Have you ever heard such a thing? They say everybody has a price. Do you have a price? Don't be quick to answer me. Don't answer this too quickly. Be careful on how you will answer it. Do you have a price? Can there be a certain level of money that you will come into today? God becomes a non-issue. Don't be too quick. Look, if you have 1,000 and keep, don't be calm. Just be calm. Because it's easy to say, no, I will always follow the Lord. I will always follow the Lord. You will always follow the Lord. When you are private jet, you can go on holiday right now. Now, you have close to 300 million rands sitting in your account. You can fly immediately now to London for breakfast, to Paris for lunch, and you end up sleeping in America. And we tell you there's 21 days prayer and fasting. You say, Pastor, you know, some of us are in the air. We are in the air, you know, Pastor. Some of us are in the air. That's when we will know. That's when you now know that you truly have a price. So don't be too quick to answer if you have a price or not. And we live in a time where we need to begin to ask ourselves, can anything, you know, can any price, is there a price which my worship of God can be switched? The transactional mindset has also sneaked in into the church. So you see people are not transactional, even in their worship of God. If you're truly a follower of Christ, if you're truly in Christ, then I want you to know this, that the price for your life has been paid. Jesus paid the price on the cross for you. Therefore, you are not for sale. Say, I'm not for sale. Say loud and clear, I'm not for sale. Let wealth hear you say, I am not for sale. Let material possession hear you say, I am not for sale. Why? You have already been bought with a price, and the receipt is the blood of Jesus Christ. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Number two way on how to deal with greed, how to overcome greed. Number two, break the hold of covetousness through contentment and truth of God's word. Break the hold of it through contentment and truth of God's word. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 to 6, I read quickly, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he had said, I will never leave nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my help. The Lord is my help. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Many believers are not able to say that the Lord is their helper because they are covetous. They are covetous. They are covetous.
they are covetous. You will read what the Amplified Classic Edition said. It said, let your character, moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possession, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give up, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not, three times, in any degree, leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Ah. That's what God is saying to you. Listen, track and audit your desires. Hear me, friends. Track, audit your desires. Audit the inclinations of your heart. Track and audit them. Sometimes ask yourself, where is this desire coming from? Where is it coming from? Is it because of covetousness and competition with my friends? When you have a desire to buy a new car, ask yourself, where is the desire coming from? Is it because I saw that my friend Rendani has bought a new car? I must also show him that we are within. Amen. Amen. So the next thing, you go collect another car. So check your desires. Check it. Our conduct must be without covetousness. Be able to trace your desires. Where is it coming from? Is your desire, you know, your desires, are they as a result of covetousness? Is it as a result of competition? Or is it a pure desire because God has blessed you and you need to enjoy the money God has blessed you with? And for those who have not come into abundance yet, know that life is in phases. You have not come in yet. Don't kill yourself. Life is in phases. Don't kill yourself. I repeat, let me say it with my glasses off so that you can look straight into my eyes. Don't kill yourself when it has not arrived. Don't kill yourself. If you kill yourself, how will you stay alive to enjoy it? Amen. Don't kill yourself. To overcome greed, you must leave your size per time. Cut your coat according to your cloth, not your size. Because sometimes the material you have available might be too small compared to your size. So cut according to your size, according to your cloth. Start with what you have, where you are, and watch how God will do the rest for you. Cut, stay where. Don't allow anybody put you under pressure. One of the things I've enjoyed, I and my wife, is nobody puts us under pressure. We only started going for holidays a few years now, 2, 3, 4 years now. Those years, we had no money for holiday, and I never holidayed anything. Is it ticket to heaven? And I didn't lose a sleep. I worked around the clock. Jesus, if you call me home, fine. To be absent in the body means to be present with the Lord. So, and I enjoy Jesus serving the Lord with all my heart. I never borrow to go on holiday. Borrow what? No, we don't do that. Because per time, you follow God per time. You follow him per time. It makes it, when whatever he gives to you comes, you will enjoy it in peace. You will enjoy it in peace. Live your life by time, my friend. Don't be under pressure. Don't let anybody put you under pressure. They are celebrating their birthday. They go and hire the Polokwane Stadium and put everybody there. You know, you don't even have money to hire 2x2 hall. You go and be joining them. Don't do that. I have never been moved. I've gone to pastor's meeting where all the pastors have all the best German brands, German car brands. They all line up. And I arrive with my Toyota Yaris. God punish the devil. I packed it there. Anointing is not by German car. Anointing is by the Holy Ghost. And I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I packed the thing there. When we're about to go, I stood by my car, we're discussing. You enter your car, I enter my car. It's car. We will all arrive. You might just arrive earlier than me, but it doesn't change anything. Arrival is arrival. And I'm enjoying Jesus. Amen. No pressure, no nothing. Coming to tell the church, you know, Akiri Muruti now is driving Toyota Yaris. Don't you want Muruti to leak like others? You know, who is going to give Muruti? No, no, no. I never borrow members' car. No matter the car a member drives, it doesn't move me. It's your car, not my car. I enjoy Jesus. And you never are under pressure. Live your life per time. Per time. As God is blessing you, things are happening, you keep improving, you keep growing, you keep improving, you keep growing, you keep improving, and you will have, I can tell you, you will have the most peaceful life. Listen, I have the most peaceful life. I won't lie to you. And we close with this. Number three. How do you overcome greed? Develop a heart of generosity. Tell yourself, I want to be a generous person. We're in a time where a lot of people are suffering around us. Be on the lookout for anyone you can quickly assist. Position yourself to be a blessing. I've opened up my heart to allow God be able to tell me who to give to and when to give. I'm telling you the truth. I shared a testimony in the two services how I and my daughter, we were at Spa the other day, about 2-3 weeks ago, we're buying some things. And an elderly man, a bit older, probably should be in his late 50s or early 60s, walked up to my daughter and was asking for 5 rand to be able to add up to what he has in his hands to pay for. I think he bought bread or something like that. I don't know what he bought. So I went to get something my wife asked me to get for her. So as I turned, I saw the man walking away from Daniel. So I asked Daniel, what happened? You know, Daniel said, no, he was asking me for 5 rand. I said, quickly, call him. So we called the man. I said, Papa, come. I said, go take the trolley outside. Actually, Daniel went and brought the trolley for him. Daniel went, brought the trolley and gave it to him. And we said, my Papa, fill it up. I'll pay for it. I said, fill it up. Whatever you want to buy, buy. At first, he was a bit afraid. You know, he was looking. I said, Papa, fill it up. Nothing will happen. Fill it up. We'll pay for it. If I don't have enough, I'll phone my wife. Send me money. Yeah, fill it up. It's true. My wife has money. She has money. So I'll phone my wife. Fill it up. She'll send me money. We'll pay for it. And the man went, filled up that trolley. By the time he finished buying, everything was amounting to 2,600 and something rands. I went to the till, swiped my card, paid for. So I told the lady at the till, no, actually wrap it up to 3,000 rands because that's what I want to give to him. And they wrapped it up to 3,000 rands. The balance of 300 and something rands, I gave it to him. I said, Papa, take this. Then he took his things he bought and went home. Be a blessing. Is it that I'm a millionaire? No. But I cannot go and sleep. And the man was just asking for 5 rand. I will have nightmares. Asking for 5 rand to complete his money to go buy bread or whatever he wanted to buy. And I saw that. I can't sleep, well, not me. There have been so many times I and my daughter, we're driving. We drive past people. We see that they need help. We drive back again and give to them. Be a blessing. Be a blessing. Be a blessing. Be a blessing. With the little in your hands, be a blessing. You don't have to have 3,000 like me to give. But that small in your hands, be a blessing. That is how you overcome greed. By those givings, I have overcome greed. Listen, money doesn't hold a place in my heart. Money doesn't hold a place in my heart. The way God blesses me, I freely give out. When it enters my hand, in fact, sometimes people have given me a gift. Someone has put a gift in my hands. of money. Before the person left, I've already distributed everything. I've distributed everything to people around me. Be a blessing. That's how you overcome greed. You overcome greed by being generous. Be generous. Be generous. Be a generous person. Start with little things. I know there are people who will want to take advantage of your generosity. That shouldn't make you close the bowels of your compassion because of such people. Yes, there are people who want to take advantage. I've also experienced it. People want to take advantage of me because they know I'm generous. But that should not stop you from being, it can't stop me from being a blessing. Be a blessing. Be a blessing. When was the last time you gave money, good money, to the car guard that you met at the mall? I'm not talking about those 50 cents you put in their hands and you feel proud of yourself and you're cruising out with that heavy car, even the noise, and they hold you with all your is 50 cents. You took 50 cents and put in their hands and nothing moved in your heart. Some don't even give anything. That's even the most annoying part. Every time, only you. I cannot challenge it. You just have filled your trolley. You are now loading the things inside the boot. And when it's time to go, I cannot challenge it. My friend, stop it. Be a blessing. Be a blessing. Look at people around you. Be a blessing. People who work around you, be a blessing. Some of you have security guards where you are. Be a blessing. In our complex, the security guards there, you know, there's these gardeners there in our complex. When those guys see me, they almost want to throw themselves on the ground. I'm always a blessing to those guys. I'm always a blessing to them. Be a blessing. Be a blessing. That's how you break the hold of greed. Be a blessing. Find a way to bless people. There are also those whose generosity is only to man and not to God. Often, it is because they want to play the role of God in the lives of people. Be generous to God and to man. Be generous. There are people, once they have given their tithes, it's finished. Be generous to God. Let it be that there are some days you just, you know, out of the goodness of what God has done for you, you just locate the church account and just say, thank you, Jesus. That should just be your reference. Thank you, Jesus. You're generous towards God. You look for something in the house of God and say, God, I'm so grateful. Let me offset this bill. Be generous. Look at your neighbor, look straight into their eyes and say to them, be generous. Be generous. Yeah. So we're done. How do you overcome greed? Let me run through the three things. Number one, worship God daily and actively. Number two, you break the hold of greed and covetousness through contentment and the truth of God's word. Number three, develop a heart of generosity. Let's rise on our feet and let's go. Were you blessed this morning or this afternoon? Were you blessed? Go ahead and celebrate the Lord this morning. Amen. I want you to lift your voice. Repeat after me. Say, in the name of Jesus. Say, in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, by the power of your word, let the hold of covetousness and greed be broken off my life, be broken off my heart, in the name of Jesus. Pray for yourself, everybody. Pray, lift your voice, repeat after me, say, in the name of Jesus. Thunder, in the name of Jesus. My Father, make me a generous soul, in the name of Jesus. Pray for yourself right now.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you are blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com. as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mokocha. Till next time, God bless.